Chapter number 106 in the book of Psalm, chapter 106. I'll read here. The last verse I will read will be our text for the day. Verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We have the privilege this morning to be able to handle the Word of God. Lord, I pray that your sweet Holy Spirit would come to this place and minister to hearts. For without you, we can do nothing. Our voice is but tinkling cymbal without the love of God speaking forth. And so, Lord, I pray this morning for that which only you can do and you can deliver. I pray that you would open our ears to your truth. And, oh God, that you would be glorified as a result of that. I pray that not a one of us here would seek to steal that glory, but that you might receive it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We know that God answers prayer. How many could say, "Preacher, I know God answers prayer because he has answered mine in the past. I know that." We know he answers it. Too often, and please understand everything we're going to say right now, too often we speak of the power of prayer as if it were our doing. In other words, we'll talk about the power of prayer, but we don't stop to realize it's not us, it's God. The power is in God that chooses to answer our prayers. Amen? Don't exalt the prayers. Exalt the God who answers those prayers. We learn that we can have answers to prayer and be out of the will of God. Notice verse 13, 14, and 15. Notice what it says, "They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel." Are they in the will of God? Yes, no. No. "But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert." Are they in the will of God? Yes or no? No. And then he says, and. He's connecting this to the last one. "He gave them their request." Evidently, they had prayed. They were out of the will of God, and God gives them their request. But notice something that's very peculiar about this one. For he says in that, "but sent leanness unto their soul." We can learn, I believe, from this verse that all answered prayer is not necessarily a good thing. Please bear with me, and I hope understand this. Physical blessings without the spiritual is of no value. Would you say amen to that? Mark chapter 8, verse 36, For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, the spiritual side is the most important. And if there's not a spiritual objective to your prayer, then it is not in the will of God. And by the way, he doesn't have a promise of answer, though sometimes he will. And if he does, it does not bring satisfaction to the soul. I look back in the book of Luke chapter 12, and it tells us about a rich farmer. And listen to what it says. Luke chapter number 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them. Now, what's a parable? It is, somebody's called it an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's basically an illustration. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, that's interesting, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So it is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. When we stop and think about this matter of praying and praying in or out of the will of God, I believe we could all say that there is what we could call selfish and unselfish praying. And I would ask the question this morning, what is unselfish praying? Now, God seems to answer the other on occasion, but what we learn from that is that we get leanness of soul. So what is unselfish praying? And I would list it like this. First of all, it is seeking the spiritual well-being of others. Did you hear that? Seeking the spiritual well-being of others. I am very thankful for the literally hundreds of people who have prayed for my health in the last three and a half years. I'm thankful for that. I believe God answers those prayers. I believe God is one who's powerful to do that. And we know that the Lord is concerned about our health, as many of his miracles were the healing of the body. But have we noticed when we read those accounts that often it speaks of that person who was healed and their forgiveness? It speaks of the fact that there needs to be or ought to be or there will be a future walk with him. One of the remarks is, go thou and sin no more. Interesting. In Sunday school, we saw a verse, Luke chapter 10, verse 2. And in that verse, it said, therefore said ye unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I asked the question this morning, what if we would pray more for others in reaching souls? I'm not discounting we pray for folks with healing. And we have people in our church who are in need of that kind of prayer. But would you not agree with me that the spiritual need is far greater than the physical need? Would we not say that that which is of the soul is more important than that which is of the body? For I find that God said he would make us a living soul. And do you understand from that that God made us in his image, and that soul will never die? You say, you mean I have everlasting life? Yeah, it's in one of two places. It's either heaven or hell. But God wants our soul to be blessed. What if we prayed more for his power to reach souls? What if we did that? There are souls that need to be rescued. Remember the song we sang that said, go out? There's a reason for that, because we need to, what, take that gospel to people. There are souls that need to be rescued from sin, And we're to pray, or we turn around and rather praying for them, we'll pray for a new car or a new suit of clothes or who knows what. Are cars necessary? Most of you wouldn't have got church on time without it. Some of you still be hitching up the horse. Yes, we need some of those things, but they're tools that we use. What's the purpose? That we might be able to reach others for Christ. You know, we're doing something now we would have never imagined just a few short years ago, and that is to be able to broadcast our services, not through television, which is very expensive, but really rather cheaply, and do so over YouTube. And people can sit in their homes and watch that. And so if they're sick or they're having some problems or whatever it might be, they can still tune in and get that. We've got tremendous tools. But what's the tool if it is not that which is seeking to meet the spiritual needs of those who are there? There are saints today that need to be encouraged from time to time. Let me ask you, let's take a survey for just a moment. And don't be afraid to answer positive on this. Has there been a time this week you met with discouragement? All right. Boy, that's almost 100%. Isn't that interesting? And so when you're discouraged, what do you need? Encouraged. Yeah. I have been amazed at how God has been using you people to encourage this soul. Little remarks that are not really little. I spoke on the Proverbs yesterday, and I had a call, and in that call just wanted to express to me their thanks for doing it. I have no idea what that meant to my soul. And what a blessing it is when you and I can have those kinds of encouragements. Amen? And far too often, we get selfish in our praying, and it's only about ourselves and our physical needs when it really is a higher calling if we can be praying for the spiritual needs of others, whether they be saved or lost, that their soul might be exalted in the presence of God. Secondly, I would say, what is unselfish prayer? It is seeking God's glory exceedingly more than anything else. Our excitement many times about prayer is more about how we manipulated our God to do what we wanted, as opposed to, wow, look what he did. Some of you remember Bill's mother, Mrs. Mowry. She, I suppose, in a period of 10, 15 years, she was part of our church, called me several times. And she would ask me to come over. She was sick. Boy, I'll tell you, I'd look at her a few times and I thought, you need to go to the hospital. I even told her to. She wouldn't do it. She says, would you pray and ask God to heal? And I was always amazed because she really believed that God would heal her. And as a result, God did. I said to her one day, you realize one of these days he's not going to do it because he's going to take you home to heaven. She says, yeah, I know that. I remember one time she'd gotten sick and she'd asked me to come over and pray. And it was almost like within moments she got up and began fiddling around, so I feel better. There were times I thought she was being phony, quite honestly, because it was hard for me to believe. And then one day in church, she says to me, she says, you know, the other night you came over and we had prayer and we had church the next day, and she says, I didn't give God the glory for that. And I've been sick ever since. And she got up during church that day and she says, that's what God did for me and gave God the glory. You see, it ought to be our all towards Him. I don't say all as A-L-L, but all, A-W-E. I mean, do you understand today that when God answers our prayers, He is condescending to us? And we ought to be giving Him the glory without thought or mention of our praying. It's all about Him. I have to make a confession this morning. I think one of the largest mistakes, biggest fault that I have in the ministry is seeking through prayer and preaching for the souls of men for my church. Did you catch that? Not for His glory, but for this church. I have found something very interesting, and I learned this and relearned it and learned it over again. When I seek His glory, He builds our church. Interesting. When I seek for Him to be exalted, He does that kind of work. You see, above everything else, He ought to get the glory. Whatever it is that takes place in your life, thankful to God who gave you the ability, thankful to God who did for you whatever it is that He had, that He only perhaps could do, giving Him the glory. And by the way, even when God uses somebody else and we look and we see somebody else helping us, who put that into their heart? Who did that? If they're a Christian, I would most likely say, the Lord did that. And He deserves the praise. But so often, our praying is selfish. So often, our prayers for ourselves physically, so often, even spiritually, without consideration of others. By the way, we need to pray selflessly in the fact of how God can help us in our spirit, how God can help us in our soul, and how we need to listen to Him and all those kinds of things. But far too often, it's not about, God, make me better that I can do better for You. It's, God, just do something really good for me so I can brag. Not about you, but about myself. We really get honest with it. God gives answers to selfish prayers. He gave them a request. He talking about when they were at the Red Sea and the Egyptian troops were on their heels. They had nowhere to turn. And what did God do? He opened the Red Sea. And even after that takes place, we find that they get in the wilderness and they begin to complain. For in verse 13, it says it very marvelously, they soon forgot His works. They prayed. He answered their prayers. But there was leanness in their soul. Question of the day is your prayers unselfish to the place where your soul is fat? To where your soul is exceedingly excited because of what God is doing? Where is it at? Far too often, this is the kind of praying we do. He gave them the request, but sent leanness unto their soul. Let me divert for just a moment. I'm speaking primarily to God's people this morning, but Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you don't know Christ your Savior. And one of the things I have found with people in general is they run into a problem, so they ask God to take care of that problem for them. And sometimes God, in His marvelous grace, He actually will answer their prayers for them. But their soul is still lean. It does not have the joy and the love and the marvelous being of God within them. What needs to take place? We need to let Jesus come in, amen. And allow Him to have our heart and our soul, and allow Him to do what He wants to do, and that is to save us from eternity in hell. I don't know about you, that's what I deserve. Because I believe she's second or third cousin here this morning, and remembering back in the days when her daddy and I used to run together. And some of the dumb things, I mean stupid things that we did. Do you know I actually wrecked his daddy and my uncle's car? It was being stupid. Do you realize if I'd have been in a place where it was a little bit faster, it was a head-on crash, I could have been out in eternity. And I don't know how many dumb things like that we did, but I'm so glad today that God reached down and touched my soul and helped me to understand that my sin was taking me to an everlasting hell and I needed Jesus. And I'm so thankful that in that year in 1966 of February, I honestly, in a classroom, bowed my head and I said, Lord, that's what I've been looking for. I was empty inside. All those dumb things we did not satisfy the soul. Oh, they were funny for a moment. But I was empty. And I was searching. And God found me. And the truth of His word entered into my soul. And I understood it for the very first time. I'd gone to Sunday school and church for years. But it was a formality. It was a time to actually be around some other guys to be stupid with. But God got a hold of my heart. And I'm so thankful what He did. That I could see for the very first time that I was lost without Christ. And I needed Him. Maybe my words were not what your words were, but it was, Lord, that's what I've been looking for. It was my prayer of faith. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now works do come afterwards, but not to get it. It's kind of like marriage. Marriage, listen, we got a couple, he said, will you, and she wilted. Oh, yes, I will. And I forgot how many days, 23, 24 days. by the way, I'm going fishing that day, so I hope you have a great wedding. But marriage is not about working to get it. It's about accepting. And isn't it marvelous how we're willing to accept somebody with all of their faults? Because we all have them. Yeah. Boy, what if we did that in marriages all the way through? But willing to accept it. Then I found this. After she accepted, It's been a lot of work since. And I don't mean by that drudgery. It's a pleasant work. It's a great work. It's rewarding work. It's marvelous work. And that's what it is with God. Well, let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, O God, that we can come to you and get answers to prayer. O God, I pray you help us to search our hearts and really discover if we're praying selfishly or unselfishly. O Lord, help us to understand that the spiritual far outweighs the physical. Lord, help us understand that leanness in the soul is devastating. Open our hearts, our lives. I pray that you would work in lives this day. In Christ's name, amen.